Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Ray Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 142 of Nerd Pride Radio. 142, the 142nd Infantry Regiment is an infantry regiment in the U.S. Army National Guard. Members of the 142nd, arriving as reinforcements, tipped the battle for Castle Itter in Itter, I assume, I-T-T-E-R, sure, in favor of a combined U.S. Army Wehrmacht defense against a Waffen-SS attack, the only time German and American forces fought side by side in World War II. Fascinating. Thank you, Master. I had nothing for this week. I appreciate you doing all of my grueling research for me. Ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I'm awesome! My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week, even when I'm stuck at scout camp. Stuck. I want to be here. I love being here. To haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you are listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like used costumes and stage makeup. Oh, theater is awesome, isn't it? All right. First up, before I do anything else, let me adjust my mic. I think I'm a little too far away here. This is a weird room I'm in. Hold on. Okay, I think I got it. I am at the trading post at Camp Cedars for Boy Scout Camp, where I will be all week long. And this little room I'm in has the advantages of A, air conditioning, and B, power, which is awesome at this hour of night. But it's a little echoey. I know I recorded here last year, but I don't remember having sound issues. So we'll see how this thing pans out by the time I'm done. Shouldn't be bad. All right. Anyway, let's see. Oh, before anything else, we have yet another installment of our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! Yeah, last week I mentioned the movie Moana because Kaz brought it up in a question, and I mentioned something about Moana being a Pixar movie, which it is not a Pixar movie. Moana is going to be a Disney Animation Studios picture, which I should have known, but I didn't. And whoever brought that up, yeah, all right, I'm sorry, you're right. You got me on that one. So anyway, Moana, not Pixar. All right, done. Let's see. Oh, what else do I want to do? All right, let's go into, because here's the other thing, is because of my recording situation, and it's now 10:30 at night by the time I finally get started recording, I'm going to be tired, and I'm going to want to get to bed soon. So, A, not going to be too long a podcast, I think, and B, I'm not going to bother except for the opening music that you already heard and the closing music, which I will put in at the end. I'm not going to do any bumper music this week because just too much work. I want to get this thing out to you guys as fast as humanly possible, and then I can get to bed. It's been a long day. I have hiked, I think, 4 miles getting around this camp. That's pretty good. Not bad for an old fat man, right? All right. So anyway, first thing up is the meticulously planned portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I put it on my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And the first thing on my master list, in fact, probably most of this episode this week, is a nerd culture report. And then this is where Gonzo says, I thought this was bowling for weirdos. And I say, no, Gonzo, but you're very, very close. All right, as I mentioned already, I am at Boy Scout camp, and I was going to save my talk about Camp Cedars and Boy Scout camp until the end of the week, because I'm going to be here all week and probably will record the next episode here in this same room before I leave camp. And I was thinking I would wait till the end of the week to say anything because, you know, that way I'll have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, all the activities we did this week. But I got to tell you, I love being at Boy Scout camp. I love being specifically at Camp Cedars. This place is amazing and wonderful and fun. And the main reason for it, look, it's a well set up camp. There's lots of really good activities. It's got everything. My kid, Eli, tomorrow, just for him, he's going to be doing, well, he's got some citizenship classes. It's a required merit badge, but on to the fun stuff. Hey, and if anyone's listening who teaches citizenship, I'm not saying that, oh, my goodness. Okay. My wife just sent me a message that says I liked the wrong Camp Cedars on Facebook. No wonder it's not linking properly. Okay, I'll fix that. In addition to citizenship, he's going to be doing horseback riding. He's got horsemanship coming up tomorrow. He's got archery. He's got astronomy. It's going to be awesome. And speaking of astronomy, every year at Camp Cedars, you guys know how I love the astronomy. I love my planets. I am looking at the night sky right now, and Saturn, Mars, both in beautiful positions for viewing this week. Just gorgeous. I walked out and I'm like, okay, clearly a planet. I just don't know which one. I look it up on my phone. Sure enough, Saturn sitting right there. I cannot wait because Tuesday night they break out the telescopes for the night skies presentation. Last year it was the Omaha Astronomy Club, and I assume it's going to be the same people this year. And they were fun and awesome, and they brought all sorts of cool telescopes, and we got to spend all night looking at the stars. I can't wait to do it again. This is going to be so much fun. But to back up, the reason I love being at camp here so much to do, lots of fun stuff. My kids, I was so surprised. We've got 7 of them coming along, and for the most part, they don't share a whole lot of classes, most of them. During the day, they're going to be going to different activities, and that's kind of the way they wanted it. I asked Eli, I said, well, you know, you want to look at the other guys' schedules, and if there's classes that you guys are taking in common, make sure we can schedule them for the same time. And he's like, no, last year that was the whole point, is we get to spend lots of time with each other for meals and activities in the evening and that kind of stuff. And he said, but then during the day for the classes, I got to meet all sorts of new people, make all sorts of new friends. I'm like, man, I don't remember having that attitude when I was a kid, but oh, more power to you. That is awesome. So he just likes mixing it up, getting out there and socializing is really cool. And on top of everything else, the Camp Cedar staff, the people here, are phenomenal. They have such a passion for what they're doing, whether it's in the STEM building with the sciences, out at the Nature Center, the shooting sports, the equestrian people, the cope people doing the climbing wall and the other extreme stuff. They've added a bunch of new activities this year that I've never seen before. It's really cool. And all the people that do it, again, you know what? As I'm about to say it, I recognize that I gave this exact same speech last year when I did an episode about Camp Cedars. But these are people who are not here for the money. Or at least if they're here for the money, that's not their prime motivator because they don't get paid a whole lot. They come out here and work 7 days a week. Most of them have 1 day off when, you know, one group of scouts all checks out, you know, the 600 of us who are here at camp. We all check out on Saturday. We leave Saturday morning and then they have 24 hours off before the next group of campers all checks in on Sunday, after lunch. And so they're working 7 days a week for 6-7 weeks straight. And, when I've seen the job advertised, it does not pay a lot. I mean, I know how many hours they put in a week, and I would bet that most of them are getting paid like a buck and a quarter an hour if you average it all out. I mean, oh, sure, they get room and board and there's other perks and stuff, but they're not here primarily for the money. They could make a lot more money just working part-time at McDonald's. No, they're here because they love what they're doing. They have a passion for it, and it shows. And it's really, really incredible. And as I mentioned last year, so many nerds out here. So many. It's so heartwarming because, again, everybody is so passionate about whatever their thing is, and it's just great to see. So I will give more specifics when I record the next episode at the end of the week, because by then I will have seen a lot more stuff here at camp, and I kind of want to mention names because I have really positive, glowing things to say about most people, but I would hate to do that without asking them first, so I'm not going to do that yet. So anyway, that's Camp Cedars. That's where I am right now, having a good time. This is our first day here. We just checked in, so the boys all just went to sleep, and, well, at least I presume they're asleep. And so I'm going to get my first night in my cot, in my tent, as soon as I'm done recording here. It's going to be awesome. I'm sure of it. Next up, actually, this is not on the Nerd Culture Report. This is actually at my gaming table. All right, cue music. I've got Dungeon Master's Guide. I've got 12-sided die, etc., etc. All right. That's right. This is my gaming table. Video games, board games, card games, role-playing games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I am here to share it with you. All right. I got to go to my second community game night, put on by our local arts center, the Norfolk Arts Center, and they had community game night. I got to go. I took Eli and Noah with me. Aiden had to work, sadly. He was really bummed because he really wanted to go. And we had a wonderful time again. And the two games that I wanted to mention from that night, one I've talked about before, Battlesheep. All right. Battlesheep comes from Blue Orange Games. And which, by the way, I own another Blue Orange game, and I didn't even know it. I own a game called Fast Track, which is it's got little discs and rubber bands, and you're shooting discs back and forth across this little board. It's really entertaining. But Battlesheep, which ostensibly on the surface of it looks exactly like a kid's game, and if you go to Blue Orange, if you visit their Facebook page, look at their website, they look like they're into educational stuff. It's mostly kids' stuff. So it would be easy to not take this game seriously. But Battlesheep, this week at game night, I got to play it with adults. And it was a blast. I mean, we still had Noah with us because Noah loves his Battlesheep. There was no way we're getting rid of Noah. And he's really bossy about it, too. But it was a great game because I got to play with adults and we got to strategize against each other. And it was exactly as much fun as I had hoped. It was really cool. We were taking it very, very seriously. It's Colin, who is the guy who organizes the community game. Him and his, I believe, Jake is the other guy who puts this on. And Colin's wife, Christina, works there at the Norfolk Arts Center and therefore is able to give us the room and make the arrangements and all this stuff. And so I had Colin and his wife, Christina, playing Battlesheep with me. And it was just spectacular. I got Colin to play a couple of games, and he's like, oh, I've got to get her over here. She will love this. And sure enough, after one game, she's like, we're buying this. We have to buy this. And see? Sold. Battlesheep is really a lot of fun. It is a simple set of rules. It reminds me of Othello in the sense that it is an incredibly simple set of rules, and yet winds up being incredibly complex in play. The strategy that goes into it is phenomenal. I really, really enjoy this. You've got to try it out. You have to. Go over to Blue Orange Games. Go out to Amazon and search for Battlesheep. Buy yourself a set. It is really, really fun. And again, simple enough that you can teach a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old to play this game. And they'll have fun with it, and you'll have fun playing them. Noah breaks this game out at every event he possibly can and teaches anyone who will listen, because he loves the game so much. But playing it with adults is even better. Really, 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 you guys have to try this. All right. Now, having now sold you on Battlesheep, and I'm sure all of you are going to go out and buy one right away, the other game I got to play is, I we went for a while, and it got to be, you know, a little after 9 o'clock. The kids were getting a little tired, so I took them home. And then when I came back, Colin had asked me about playing some card games. And so I had the card games ready, and they were playing something else, so I figured I'd just wait it out. And while I'm waiting, Jake, the other guy, calls me over. He says, Mike, you doing anything? All right, come on. You have to try this game. We need a fourth. And so I played a game called Above and Below, which is from Red Raven Games. And Above and Below, for all the world, reminds me of Small World. It doesn't play anything like Small World. Small World is a Risk-style map where you're battling it out, but in very crowded conditions, and it's Small World is awesome as well. But Above and Below is kind of a mix of this resources management and trying to build up points while mixing it with this storytelling element where you're reading these story elements out of the book and you have to make decisions, choose your own adventure style, make decisions on what actions you're going to take. And then you roll your dice and look for results and, you know, weigh in. Anyway, it was fascinating. But again, it just has a Small World feel. I think it's all the pieces. I think it's that you open the box and there are a million pieces to represent all of your people, your explorers, villagers was the game term for it. But you've got all of your people and they're all individualized. You've got, you know, a dozen different resources that you can be earning. There's all these money chips. There's a lot of stuff that goes with this game. And so you wind up buying buildings, expanding your own village, exploring underground, and that's where the storytelling elements come in. When you go underground, you wind up choosing a card, rolling some dice, and then they open up the book and they read you that particular story element that, you know, you've run across a peddler in one of the chambers underground. He's offering to sell you X, but, you know, you have the options of, you know, well, do you want to try and buy it from him? Do you want to just walk away? Do you want to try and rob him? Do you want to, you know, and it gives you options, and then you roll for successes based on what adventurers you have with you, what villagers are down there. And then it gives you the results, and you might win new resources or get money. You can earn reputation or lose reputation, which was my job. I quickly decided that I was so far behind everyone else on reputation that, you know what, I'm going to go for the bad choice every time. I'm going to rob people. I'm going to abandon people. I'm going to just, it didn't matter to me. Because, you know what, I'm not winning on reputation. I'm just going to go for the big resources. And it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. The only drawback to it is that it took us 2 hours to play a game, so that was the rest of my night. And so I wound up not getting to play anything else after that. But it was only 2 hours because I think Jake had played before and everyone else was new to it. And so it was a while of getting the pieces, sorting everything out, kind of reviewing the rules a little bit. The first couple of turns was everyone feeling their way around and trying to figure out how the beginning of a game goes. But once we got through that, it wound up being really fun. And I think if we were to play a second game, I think an hour would be about right. Maybe an hour 15. I don't think it would need to take 2 hours again. Which, you know, an hour for a board game, a little over an hour, that's about right. I can handle that. I think that works really well for me. Although, man, the more games I play, the more I'm coming to really appreciate card games. And I love having the variety of card games because they tend to be, they're simple. There's some card games that are not simple at all, but as in simple in that you've just got a small package. You don't have to carry a whole lot with you. And when you get there, most of them are fairly easy to teach, like the kind of thing where you give them some basic rules, and then you're like, you'll pick it up after a round. And sure enough, they always do. And most of the card games I play, except for Munchkin, most of them are, you know, anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes. All right, nice short games that I can get more stuff fit in. I can play, you know, that we can play a round of Flux, and if we're having a good time, we can play another round of Flux. We can play 10 rounds of Flux if that's what everyone's enjoying. But if someone comes up with something else cool, we can go, oh, all right, well, cool. We put this one away, and we move on. I love doing that. Anyway, Community Game Night is wonderful again, and this one kind of got moved to the end of the month. So next one's only 2 weeks away. I get to do this again. I'm so excited. Anyway, back to my nerd culture reports. The other thing that happened this week was the Missoula Children's Theater which if you've never done Missoula Children's Theater, it's awesome. It's for, I think, kids anywhere from 5 to 18, I think is their age limits. I'm not sure. I could look it up. But Missoula Children's Theater is a setup where they have two directors for their play. They come into town, and Monday morning they do auditions, and all, you know, whatever kids want to be in the play, they come out to audition for Missoula Children's Theater. This time it was Pinocchio that we were putting on. And after the auditions are done, they start sorting kids out. They get their cast members set up. And depending on the town you're in, sometimes not all the kids get a part, but sometimes everybody gets a part. But, you know, what part you get depends on your skill level. And so they wind up with a cast of, you know, 40 kids. And some of them are, you know, have individual roles, the lead roles, and then some of them are lumped into groups, and the groups vary by, again, skill level. There are some groups that have lots of lines and lots of back and forth, and then there are some groups that just come out and they sing a couple of very simple songs, and then they're part of the ensemble. Again, depends on age and skill level. But Monday morning they do auditions, and by Saturday night they run two performances done, 6 days. And much like Camp Cedars, these are people who have no days off. Like, literally, these two directors will roll into a town like they did with us. Monday morning they do auditions. By Saturday they've put on the play. And then Sunday is them traveling to whatever the next town is. They maybe have a day off. Maybe. But them traveling to the next town, getting set up, and then they start it all over again. And it's just amazing what these kids do in a week. I'm just, every year, and we've been doing this for years. Jacob started doing them when he was little, and then Aiden joined in, and now Eli and Noah are both doing it. Noah was the one in it this time. Eli had something else going on. And it was so much fun. Again, Missoula is just a really cool program, and not expensive either. It is, the price has gone up a little bit, but I think we paid $40 for our kid to participate for the week, and that's not bad at all. And Noah had a great time. He did really well at it. He was so proud of himself. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a good introduction to theater, a good introduction to the theater experience of getting things put together and seeing the whole production of the play from beginning to end. It's really cool. And so we enjoy them. But the great thing about, and there's other programs too. Missoula is, I believe, the original for this. But now we've seen other companies, they're doing similar stuff, and none of them that I've seen so far, none of them have been quite as professional. None of them have the years of experience built up with you know, this load of costumes and everything prepared and all this. Although, man, that's the other amazing thing about them is they fit all of this into a single pickup truck. It's their, the little red truck is what Missoula calls it. But man, they have the entire set, the whole stage. You know, they have this whole huge set piece with lots of stuff that rolls in and out. And they have costumes for 40 to 50 kids. And they have all sorts of stuff that goes with it. And then when they get done, we always go up and volunteer to help them break down. So you break it all down and you put all the poles together and you fold up all the hanging scenery and get all the costumes over here. And by the time it's all done, it fits neatly into the back of this little red truck. And then they drive off and they're on to do it again. It's really cool. And what I was going to say about it is that this particular, well, in fact, every year, the Missoula Children's Theater is brought to our town by, again, the Norfolk Arts Center. These people are awesome. That's my entire week this week between Missoula and game night. My entire week this week was sponsored entirely by the Norfolk Arts Center, and I appreciate the heck out of them. We do lots of stuff with the Norfolk Arts Center. They've done, you know, God, they used to do, what was that, yeah, last year, 2 years ago, that they did movies in the park, and the park happened to be two blocks from our house. Oh, man, you couldn't beat that. We do lots of stuff with them and really enjoy them. They put on classes and exhibits and all sorts of stuff. So awesome, awesome. And again, you know, none of you are in Norfolk, and therefore none of you are going to be joining the Norfolk Arts Council. But I am, and I want to just tell you how much I appreciate those people. It's very cool. Is that it? I did Boy Scout Camp. I did Game Night. I did Missoula Children's Theater. Talked about how cool the Norfolk Arts Center is and how much I appreciate them. That's the end of it. You know what that means? It's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Yeah, you hear that? You know what that is? That's the sound of R2-D2 got left at home. I got a half hour out on the road, and Noah gave me a call. He said, Dad, I'm like, what? He says, you have neither an R2 nor a D2. I'm like, oh, God, did I leave it on the floor next to the table? Yeah, you did. Oh, man. So all the stuff got packed up, and R2 didn't make it into my bag this week. So poor R2 does not make it to camp, which means no R2 this episode and probably no R2 next episode because I'll still be at camp when I record that one. So R2 buddy, we miss you. I'm so sorry. I thought about, because I have all of his sounds recorded. I like specifically in my sound effects file where I keep all the bumper music and all that. I have all the R2 sounds all just laid out there in case I ever need to insert them for times like this. But then I thought, you know, that's really cheating. He's not here. We'll honor that. So instead, I am going to have to use my spinner ring, which comes in so handy. So hold on. This is really, it means I have to do mental calculations. All right, 1 followed by 14. That'll be a 14. And 14 is, I don't even have the list pulled up yet. Oh, wait a minute. I can't do that. I've rolled my 14. We've seen it. And now I have to do the whole hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, well, middle of every cast now, I bring out R2, or in this case, my spinner ring. Sorry, R2. Which normally he would be in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. And he still is. He's just at home. And we roll up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something, you send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. That's right. People send me Pod-O-Matic questions, and I add them to my huge list, and then every week, I do a shuffle sort on that thing, and the top 100 of them go onto the list for the week. And so that's what I'm doing, is a number from 1 to 100. And 14 is from, it's from Lucy, who actually goes by L now. And Lucy says, Star Wars Episode 7. At the time this question is being written, it comes out in theaters in 5 days. When did you see it? I saw it 2 weeks after opening weekend. And how do you feel about it in the present moment? I am extremely fond of Star Wars Episode 7. I really, really liked that movie. I understand people's complaint that it's just a retelling, remake of the first movie. I get that. But in such an awesome way. And I think Rey is an amazing hero. I am so glad she's the star of this movie. I loved almost everything about Star Wars Episode 7. I've had long discussions about it in real life on my boards here on the podcast. Episode 7 is spectacular. It is Star Wars for a new generation, and it is an awesome film that will, for kids today for whom Star Wars Episode 7, Force Awakens, is the introduction to Star Wars for them. This is their first Star Wars on the big screen. This is what Star Wars is for them. This is what will define Star Wars for their entire life. And they are so lucky because this is a great Star Wars to have be your Star Wars. It's a great one. And I'm just thrilled to be a part of it. I'm glad I can be there. I'm looking forward to Rogue One. I'm looking forward to Episode 8. Let Disney keep delivering me awesome Star Wars films. I'm thrilled. This is exactly what I want. And now, pretend I just hit R2 and he made some noise and we'll roll again. All right. 18, which puts us at the top of the list, and 7, so that would be an 87. 87 is, it feels like I'm just making stuff up, doesn't it? All right. 87 is, oh, darn it. There it is. 87 comes from Kyle. And Kyle says, how often do you get fast food? Answer first and then read the rest of this question. I would guess once a week. I mean, there are times when, oh man, when stuff gets super busy and maybe we will go a couple times a week. Although usually once it's fast food and once it's, you know, picking up pizza or something like that. Does that count as fast food? Pizza? But, and then sometimes we, you know, it'll be a couple, 3 weeks in between. But I would say once a week on average. More than I want, but oh well. All right. Now, Kyle then says, okay, I'm sure that's what you want us to believe, but answer the question again and be honest this time. All right, fine, you caught me. About once a week on average. I mean, honestly, that's, I don't typically lie on this podcast, or at least not much. I try and represent the truth as well as I am able. So, yeah, that's about right. About once a week. And by the way, when you said answer first and then get to the rest of the question, I didn't suspect anything then, but then just before I started reading the rest of the question, I'm like, oh, I know what he's going to do. And sure enough, it's exactly what you did. God, you're devious. All right. Let's do one more. Four. So back at the beginning of the list. Eight. Number eight. Eight is from? It's from Zimny. Awesome. Hey, Zim. Zimny says, you have just made a Blink Dog puppy the newest member of your family. Oh, how lucky am I? What are the first tricks you will teach it? Oh, with a Blink Dog? What? Oh, man, what tricks can you teach a Blink Dog? I mean, obviously you could teach it ordinary dog tricks, but you got to do something with that teleportation. That's a, for those of you who are not familiar with Blink Dogs, they are dogs from Dungeons & Dragons that, A, are good-aligned creatures, so which is so rare from the Monster Manual, good-aligned creatures, so they're awesome, and they teleport, dogs that can teleport. So what do you do with a Blink Dog? Oh man, this is one that you really got to put some thought into. I think my first trick, man, see all the cool tricks I can think of are just scaring people with teleportation because, I want to be able to give it a command, point to a spot, and it will blink over there, bark, and then blink back to me. That's what I want. So if I want to send it behind you, all right, I'll do that, and it'll blink over behind you, bark, scare the pants off of you, and then boom, comes right back to me. Or, you know, I could point to the roof, and it'll pop up there, bark, come back. I think that would be a cool little trick. Isn't it? That is probably like your most basic Blink Dog trick, right? Something like that. I mean, just and even without the barking, maybe it's a separate command for the barking, but just the idea of getting it to blink on command to wherever it is you need it to be. That would be a cool trick. But other than that, oh man, I'd have to put some real thought into that one. All right, but enough of the Pot-O-Matic. As much as I would love to keep going, again, going to have to get some sleep eventually. So, now that we've done with that, I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far. Oh, that's right. I said I wasn't putting in any other sounds other than the opening and closing theme. So, remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit? And I said, goodbye, and you said, no way. And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you. That was great. All right. This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. Didn't bother to use any bumper music this week, so therefore, I'll go right into, if you want to do something nice for my podcast, seriously, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it. In fact, oh man, that was something I was going to talk about earlier. I was going to do a meta talk. Completely forgot about it. Because, all right, first off, you should be out there listening to the other podcasts in my Nerd Pride Radio Network, or Nerd Pride Network. Is that our official name? What we have going here is we have me, and we have Me Like Trivia, and we have Angry Geeks Versus, and coming soon, my brother Kyle with The Cast and the Curious. Those are going to be our four official podcasts in the Nerd Pride Network. Check out the rest of them. Seriously, this is what you can do for me is if you like my podcast, go check out theirs because you'll love theirs as well, and everybody needs that. And so here's the thing I was going to talk about earlier is Facebook finally started letting me tag other people and other businesses and events in my Facebook posts for Nerd Pride Radio. I've always been able to tag on my personal page. I could just start typing someone's name and it'll pop their name in for me. I can tag them and have nice easy links for everything. But on my Nerd Pride Radio page, I tried to do the exact same thing. I'd go typing them in. I'd try and force them to put links in. I could never get links to work, which was a shame because there's been plenty of times for Gen Con or people like Cardboard Fortress or times I've talked about different games and whatnot, and I've never been able to do links to them, which is a shame. And so instead, I've just kind of faked it up until now. But now, this week, out of nowhere, I was typing up something on my Nerd Pride page, and it just started popping in links for me, which I've never been able to do before, as many times as I've tried. Maybe I was just doing it wrong. I'm sure that's entirely possible, because I know I've seen other businesses be able to do the exact same thing. But it finally started working for me. And so for last week's episode, I linked to Jenny Wood and her comic Flutter, and also linked to the Omaha Henry Dorley Zoo, because those are the two big topics I had for last week. And as a result of those links, I had twice as many views for last week's Facebook post than anything I've ever done before, and got a whole bunch of new people who liked the page, said they were going to listen. I don't know if that's translated to actual new listenership. I certainly hope it has, but I haven't gone and checked the stats in a while, so what do I know? But the idea is that, oh, man, the links are working. The links are working. I can bring in new people. I can get to actually link to the stuff I talk about. I'm so excited about that. So, again, if you want to do something nice for the podcast, spread the word. And at least as far as Facebook goes, like my page, like my posts. If you enjoy the episodes, share them with your friends and let people know. Let other people come in and join us as well. The more the merrier. All right. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, so don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. You watch every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, just as Master did for us today with episode 142, send it to me. Save me from having to do all of that grueling research on my own. You know how lazy I am. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is always come on over to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey, I am recording an episode, post anything and I will read it off. And so here I am to read it off. It's what I do. So we're going to start off with my website where I need to reply, tell them that we're done. And of course, I can't do that while I'm off mic because, you know, this is great radio and I know how much you guys enjoy this. So, done! And I saw that there's one from Produce Farmer and one other. So we got a couple. Let's see what we got. Let's see. Kaz. Kaz starts off with, what would you prefer to fight? One wolf-sized spider or 10,000 spider-sized wolves? It's a non-venomous spider, if that makes any difference. All right, let me back up a little bit. My post said, it's listener betrayal time, I'm on it. It says, I'm hot and I'm sweaty and I have to sleep in a tent with a giant wolf spider tonight, but who cares about all that? I'm here for you. Okay, which is, by the way, true. Virtually every tent we had a giant wolf spider in it, at least one, which there's lots of wolf spiders around here, and I don't care about wolf spiders. They don't bother me. They're just large, so they kind of creep you out, but for the most part, they're harmless. Give them a chance, they'll run away from you. So, but anyway, now Kaz has asked me, one wolf-sized spider or 10,000 spider-sized wolves? It's a non-venomous spider, if that makes a difference. I am going to go with, oh man, that is a tough question. I'm going to go with 10,000 spider-sized wolves. I really am. Because Neither one of these is really preferable, but a wolf-sized spider would freak me the heck out. I would be really creeped out by that. And I think a wolf-sized spider might be able to take me. Sure, non-venomous, but I could probably take it out. And we're ignoring physics. I understand a wolf-sized spider would not be able to support its own weight because it's got an exoskeleton. Well, and actually, I don't even know about it supporting its own weight. I think the real problem with a wolf-sized spider is that it can't get oxygen fast enough because it's just, anyway. Physics doesn't matter. Let's assume it's a fully functional wolf-sized spider. And no, thank you. I am not facing that. But 10,000 spider-sized wolves? That's adorable. I mean, and I'm guessing that their tiny little spider-sized wolf teeth are not going to be breaking the skin that easily. I don't think they could hurt me that bad. I really don't. And, you know, the worst that happens is what? You throw yourself down on the ground and just start rolling around on them. It would be messy, but it would take out a lot of them in a huge hurry, right? All right, you know what I mean? Come on, big fat guy, spider-sized wolf. I'm pretty sure I could crush most of them in just a minute, honestly. But tell us about your last frivolous purchase. We want to know what you regret spending money on. Regret? Regret. Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, for me, frivolous, I'm just thinking money that I didn't have to spend, but I just wanted to. And in that case, I mean, look, the last time I spent money that I didn't have to spend would be to buy myself a Punisher shirt, which I don't need at all because I have plenty of superhero-themed and nerd-themed t-shirts, and therefore I don't need a Punisher shirt, but I wanted one. So, and I don't regret it at all. I just, you know, liked it. And then, let's see. Oh, okay, next one. Kaz also says, the Brexit vote happened. Tell us why Aiden is to blame. Well, all right. First off, because he chose not to vote. That's the main thing. But Mike, he's not even a citizen of the UK. I don't care. Is that my problem? All right. That's the main reason. But I'm glad you brought up Aiden because, and this is not a knock on you, Kaz, because someone just submitted a question to me to say something about Aiden, and they spelled Aiden the same way you've spelled Aiden, A-I-D-E-N, and they put a little spelling question mark after the name. And I just want to let you know that every single one of you who has written to me and written down Aiden's name, you have all spelled it exactly the same way, A-I-D-E-N, which is the wrong way to spell Aiden. Aiden is A-I-D-A-N, because that's the correct way to spell Aiden. That's just, you're just going to have to take my word for it. Now, I understand. Here's the thing. When Aiden was born, and we named him Aiden, everybody around us said, Aiden? What kind of name is Aiden? Because it wasn't the most popular name in the world back then. It honestly wasn't. We were ahead of the curve. All right, and then, within 2 years, every kid was named Aiden. In fact, people were getting so sick of Aiden that they started going with Caden and Braden and Jaden. And, I mean, there's so many of these. It's the age of Aiden, if you read Baby Name Wizard. That was her name for that spell of names. And once Aiden became a super popular name, A-I-D-E-N became the accepted way of spelling Aiden. But they'd be wrong. It's A-I-D-A-N. So there you go. I'm telling you, it's just a prettier name with an A in it. Well, a second A. You know what I meant. Don't judge me. All right. Next comes from Produce Farmer. And Produce Farmer says, happy camping, Mike. Well, thank you. I'm having a good time. I'm really thrilled to be here. I have, again, my 8th time at camp. At Camp Cedars, and I have a great time every time I'm out here. So I have no doubt that it's going to be a wonderful week, and I will be tired but happy when I report back in a week. So, on the topic of the untamed wilderness, what is your most harrowing outdoor animal story? Did you not hear me mention the wolf spider? What? Harrowing outdoor animal story? Have you ever eaten anything particularly strange out in the wild? Let's see. pizza grilled over a fire. Is that particularly strange in the wild? Let's see. Okay, because to answer the second one first, I don't think I've ever eaten anything particularly strange in the wild because we bring all of our own food, and it's not like we're hunting and fishing and gathering for ourselves. So we've never done anything, you know, any more weird than any of the other food that I normally eat, which is usually not weird but sometimes gross. You know, I'm the kind of guy that will rummage through the fridge. Again, big fat guy. Will rummage through the fridge looking for something that I can eat. And now we're a little bit short on ingredients, so maybe I'll put certain things together into a sandwich that wouldn't necessarily go together, or people wouldn't think they would. But, so tasty. But anyway, that's not your question. The first question is, on the topic of the untamed wilderness, what is your most harrowing outdoor animal story? Oh, man. I would guess it was seeing the old woman who almost got trampled to death by a buffalo at Yellowstone National Park. That would be my probably the most harrowing, because we pulled up our car to the side of the road, and along with some other cars that were there, and we're looking down over the edge, and there are two baby buffalo, a young buffalo, and two mama buffalo right nearby. And so we presumed that each calf belonged to one of these two moms. And then way further off was a male wandering around, but we weren't really concerned about him. And so we're just watching these baby buffalo, and they're adorable, wandering around. And this old woman has gotten up to the edge of the road, and she's taking pictures of them. And then she decides she's going to hop over the guardrail and climb down the embankment so that she can get a much closer picture of the babies. And at this point, the mamas aren't really close to the babies, but you can tell that they're watching. They're watching and paying close attention. And sure enough, this woman gets down there, and she's not, you know, 10 feet from a baby buffalo, getting, I'm sure, the greatest shots ever. And the mama just starts wandering in her direction. And maybe it's just me reading into buffalo facial expressions, but she didn't look happy. And this old woman just kept snapping pictures. She's not paying attention. She's not looking. And the mom got within, you know, 25 feet of her. And finally, what is 25 feet? Is that 8 meters for my European friends? Anyway, I don't even know why I brought that in. Gets close enough to her that I'm getting really nervous, because if that mama charges, this woman is not getting up the hill fast enough. That's all I'm saying. But finally the woman notices, and in a panic, she is scrambling up the hill a lot faster than I thought she could at her age and getting back into her car. And sure enough, the minute she starts scrambling, that mama starts trotting over at a decent pace. And, I mean, we literally were, you know, 30 seconds either way from potentially seeing someone get gored or trampled down there, because she was an idiot. That's how people get killed in Yellowstone National Park. Or, well, okay, there's also falling into geysers, I suppose. Or getting lost in exposure to the elements. I'm sure that's there too. But the big reports that you see are always someone getting killed by an animal, and usually because they were really stupid and got way too close thinking that they were going to get some kind of cool picture. What is wrong with people? Do you not read the news? Are you not paying attention? So that was pretty disturbing. As far as animals that I've ever actually gotten really close to, I mean, again, lots of buffalo. We've done that plenty of times, and had them come up to where they're brushing against our car as they're passing by. And so, you know, harrowing that they might damage the vehicle, because buffalo are big, and they wouldn't even have to hit it hard to damage it. They could just lean on it, and they could put a dent that would cost me $400 in the side of it. Wait. Most harrowing? Now, when you say it's outdoor animal story, yeah, hitting a deer, all right? Hitting a deer at 65 miles an hour, watching that thing fly 200 yards down the highway, destroying the front end of my van in the process, yeah, that sucks. Hitting it in the middle of the night when, oh, man. And the worst part about that deer is if I just stuck to my guns and plowed right through, I would have missed it entirely. It was a judgment call. The thing was frozen in the middle of the road. Frozen. It wasn't doing a darn thing. And they say that when you come across an animal, you hit your brakes as hard as is reasonably safe, depending on the traffic around you and your vehicle and conditions and all that. But you slow down as quickly as is reasonably safe. You don't veer at all. You don't swerve. You don't make any sudden moves. And if it's going to hit the animal, you just hit them head on and go. That is your safest bet. I should have just kept going straight. But she was standing there doing nothing, frozen. And I thought, okay, I see her with enough time. And I didn't process any of this rationally. This is only justification afterwards. It was, I'm hitting my brakes hard. I am slowing down, but clearly I'm going to hit her. And so I thought, okay, not going to swerve, but there's no traffic around in either direction. I would just veer a little bit to the left. Just veer a little bit to the left. And with any luck, it will shift my course just enough that I'll miss her by the time I get to that spot. And at the very last second, she does that deer zigzag thing and just leaped right in front of my car. Clearly, she was suicidal. That was not my fault. She was going to jump in front of me no matter which way I went. A very depressed deer. That's all I'm saying. And she went flying and again destroyed the front end of the van. It was horrifying. Hated that. So that's my worst, that's my most harrowing outdoor animal story because had that gone in another direction, that could have towed the van and flipped us over and killed my family. And I mean, that could have been bad in a whole lot of ways. But as it turns out, my brilliant driving skills managed to save us and unfortunately destroy a deer, but at least we came out of it alive, so that was good. And that would be our most harrowing. And now we're done, so let's go on over to Facebook and see if anyone has responded to listener betrayal over there, and I'm sure they have. Sure enough, we got a couple. And let me post in and say that we are done, because that's the sort of thing I do. And Nellie says, I have one. Oh, all right, good deal. It says, I got to go back up to my post. It says, now recording episode 142 from the trading post at Camp Cedars. And then at the end I say, if you've ever had any questions about Boy Scout camp, this is the perfect time to ask. And so, sure enough, oh, darn it. Oh, cool. Anyway, I'm sorry. Facebook is popping up all sorts of notices for me. I've been posting pictures all day, and so lots of things are coming up as people like and share the photos I've been putting out of all the different kits. So anyway, see here. This is interesting. I'm sorry. I am really scatterbrained. I'm not sticking to a topic here. But this particular Facebook post, that I've just closed it down, and before I closed it, 26 people read this message. 26! Now, only Nellie and Kaz responded, but 26 of you noticed it. I think that's kind of cool. All right. Anyway, so I said, if you had any questions about Boy Scout camp, this is the perfect time to ask. And Nellie says, I have one. Do you poop in an outhouse? I have no idea what camp would be like since we don't have scouts. Okay, I'm going to get to the rest of her stuff in just a second, but let me finish this question. At this camp, I do not. We have outhouses that are, you know, perfectly fine for pooping in, but I would not. In fact, I don't think anyone does for the most part, because this camp is also set up with some very nice facilities. We have a dining room. We have shower houses, the shower houses that, again, you've got individual stalls with doors that lock, so everyone has privacy with modern plumbing for the showers, the toilets, the sinks. It's wonderful. It is wonderful. You know, electrical lighting, awesome. And so with that available to us, there's three main shower houses on camp to serve 600 people. And also each camp site, each ring of tents, has its own outhouse facility. So there is outhouse, there is running water. Well, the running water is from pumps that you can get water for use in camp. But the toilets are actually outhouses. So you certainly could poop in an outhouse while you're here, but I don't, because why would I when I can walk, you know, 50 yards up the hill and there's a perfectly modern toilet just waiting for me? I have been at camps where you do that, And I do that because, well, that's the only option they give to you. Fortunately, I have never camped in a place that was primitive enough that I'm just pooping in the woods like a bear. But those are out there too. So, and there's procedures for that in the Scout Handbook that I don't have memorized because I've never had to use them. But it can happen. But she says, in the same way in Ireland, okay, we don't have scouts in the same way in Ireland. We have something called the Order of Malta, but I believe it's mixed gender, but I think it is similar. I don't know the Order of Malta, but I do know that scouting as an umbrella organization in the United States separates out into Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, but then also has things like the Venture Scouts, and the Venture Scouts are also part of the same scouting organization that includes Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and their sub-organizations as well. And Ventures is mixed gender as well, and open to everybody, and also has different age restrictions. So, you know, and there's all sorts of stuff, and every country has a different setup for how they run it. So Order of Malta, for all I know, could be connected to the World Scouting Organization, but maybe it's not. I have no idea. But it's probably very similar in mission and operation and that kind of stuff. Me personally, I've said it before, I cannot wait for the day that we do away with Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in this country and we just have Scouts. There is absolutely no reason for us to separate genders in Scouting right now. None whatsoever. None that are convincing to me. And it would save us so much trouble. It would be such an advantage to both organizations because I feel like Boy Scouts get more attention and get these bigger, cooler facilities, which we share with the Girl Scouts in different ways, but this is still a Boy Scout camp. It's still a Boy Scout setup. And I feel that that's unfair. And if we brought the Girl Scouts in and we just made it scouting, we would get a taste of that sweet, sweet Girl Scout cookie money. Oh, the cookie money is so, so choice. Although I've heard rumors that the Girl Scouts get very little of their cookie money back because, you know, you can buy a box of cookies relatively cheap and then, you know, according to what I've heard, only pennies on the dollar go back to your local Girl Scout organization, and the rest goes to making cookies. I don't know. Whereas with Boy Scouts, our fundraisers, you know, we sell popcorn for Boy Scouts, and the popcorn money, we get a big chunk of that back. I mean, it's because our popcorn is overpriced, but the money that you're giving to buy Boy Scout popcorn, a big chunk of it actually goes to Boy Scouts and goes to doing the work that we do. So that's pretty cool. But man, if we could have those cookies, oh, good for everybody. But again, I feel like there's a duplication of effort going on to have a separate organization for boys and for girls, to have separate administration, to have separate facilities, to have separate camps. And so, we would do so much better to have stuff combined because we have good representation in Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts in our town. And I think it would be really nice to see them combined because it would be a lot that they could share with each other. That's just me. Kaz says in this one, explain the countdown in the first thread. Pull that kimono back for us, Mike. Okay. We have, this is really meta. I'm going to have to explain the whole thing. On my forums over at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, in one of our forums, we have a You Can't Kill This thread. The first thread is what it's called here. And we always have one of these, and it's a forum game that we play where if you post in that forum thread and then nobody else posts for 24 hours, you win. That's how you win, is to be the last person to post before a 24-hour gap in the thread. That's it. And we've played this a bunch of times, and sometimes it goes and someone will win really, really quickly. Other times it's gone for over a year before someone finally finally can win as everyone kind of gets lax about it. And it's usually over a holiday weekend or something stupid when people aren't paying attention to it. All right. That's the concept of the thread. In the current iteration of this thread, which my brother started, and he called it First, and then there's some subtitle that goes with it, but that's all I see is First. And it's been going on since I opened up my new forums at nerdpredradio.com/nerds. And right now, my posts have consisted of nothing but numbers. I started at 141, a number that I picked solely because it was the current episode number of my podcast. That was the last thing I recorded. And since 141, I wait, and as soon as somebody else posts something else in that thread, once I notice it, I reply with the next number down. So it was 141, 140, 139. I think it's now at 98 is where I left off. And I'm doing it for mysterious reasons that will not be revealed until we reach 0 or 1. Where am I going to? Am I going to go to 1 or am I going to go to 0? Probably 0. That sounds like something I'd do. So I wish I could explain it to you, Kaz. I really do. But you're just going to have to be patient. And we'll get there, I promise. And it'll be so worth it. Did that sound sarcastic? The payoff is going to be amazing. You will see it and you'll go, oh my God, no wonder he wanted to keep that a secret. That makes perfect sense. And then you'll be thrilled to death and we'll all have a great laugh and it'll be wonderful, right? Okay. Did that sound sarcastic? I have got to work on that. Anyway, this is all done. I am at camp. I'm going to have an awesome time. Hopefully I can get this all uploaded. I don't know how good this connection speed is. We'll get everything taken care of, and I will see you guys next week. So don't say goodnight, R2. I wish you could, but you're obviously not here. But I will say goodnight because I love you guys. You're wonderful. Keep coming back. I'll see you next week.